Blog Talk Radio.
Codex. Sleeping giants. Unchained lions. Unlocked cages. Men and women. Neutralized in stasis. Vaccinated. Fear mandated. Punished. Hated. Secret contract. Undebated. Perpetual part-time jobs. Slaves created. Wake up workers. Change the game. Full-time jobs for all. Two-person crews. Respect and safety for you know who. Take control of your union. Make the sellout's head spin. Show the world how a real union wins. Organize now with her and him. Action, 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 action. Wake up, you sleeping giants. Be defiant, non-compliant. Take what you deserve. No more silence.
No more silence. No more silence.
Area Transit Worker Radio Show. We are live. The phone number is, what is the phone number? Phone number 515-605-9885. This is Brother Eric, co-organizer at the Chicago Transit Justice Coalition, Local 308 Union Steward. They call me the Boogie Man. So glad to have you with us. Big deal going on. Who's going to be the next boss at the CTA? Because that's right, the mayor is our boss. Whoever the mayor is going to have power to decide who will be on the board of directors at the Chicago Transit Authority. The board of directors direct the Chicago Transit Authority. They are over president of the Chicago Transit Authority. You will have to deal with whoever this person is that wins the office of mayor. Paul Vallis, Brandon Johnson, which one would be our boss? I think that it's really important that we talk about the issues that concern us as public transportation or transportation workers here in Chicago. And this is why we have this show. We've been doing it for a couple of years off and on, so now we're really cranking it up because this is contract season. This is it. Our collective bargaining agreement expires in just a few more months, December 31st, 2023. We also have elections at Local 308. We had them in Local 241. Boss Hill, again, for another term of lovely, full of money contracts and business unionism. Local 308 is up for grabs. We've got a retiring president, a retiring secretary treasurer. We've got Sister Penny running for president. Boss Franklin, Ken Franklin. People want me to run. I don't want to run for president. Don't put me in that, please. Don't nominate me. president. I don't want to split that vote. I really don't want to see Ken Franklin get back in. Do you want to know about what he did? Just go to ChicagoTransitWorker.com, and we have a button there that says reported on all of the membership meetings that Brother Ken Franklin chaired in his second term. The button says unofficial meeting reports at ChicagoTransitWorker.com. I did video reports on every meeting that I attended. It was hell. Just like with Boss Dixon. So the coalition, we don't, we do not sponsor or endorse candidates, although we do have what's called the candidate forum, and these are candidates who have answered questions regarding union democracy and who we can recommend as a good risk. But me personally, I'm backing Sister Penny McCoach for president, Local 308. I've worked with her, okay? She's cooperated with me, so has Brother Mark, to the best of their abilities, as I help you as a union steward. We differ fundamentally on aspects of revolutionary unionism and business unionism. But, so I'm recommending those of y'all, because I know a lot of y'all want me to run. Run, Eric, run, run. Are you running? Are you running? I'd be like, yeah, I just ran a high interval sprint. What you mean? They're like, oh, I run for president. I say, okay, why don't you nominate me for second vice president, Local 308? That's what I'm recommending, okay? So get ready for that. October 10th, you can nominate people. You want me to run? Nominate me for that spot. Get me in under the radar. Let's see how I do. Sister Penny, I'm sure, will be cooperative in making sure I understand her job if I win, if you elect me. But let's see. We got some callers on the line here. Thanks for calling in. 515-605-9885. We're gonna make sure that we get to you. And when what the heck? A doorbell just rang. Okay. Who is this? Hang on, everybody. What is it? You know what? I'm not even gonna answer. I'm busy. Please don't ring the bell again. Lord have mercy. Okay. So what is that? Sounds like a TARDIS? A time machine? What the heck? What are you doing here?
Hey, Brother Eric. How you doing, Brother Eric?
Ken Franklin. It's Ken Franklin. He just materialized in a time machine in my studio here. What are you doing? I said,
I'm your future president. I'm your future president of Local 308.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding me.
I would like to read a statement, if you don't mind, Brother Eric. I really like this show you have here. It's a fantastic show. It's a good thing. You're really thinking about the members.
Oh, come on. Stop bullcrapping me, man. What do you want?
Like I said, Brother Eric, I'm trying to be positive, man.
What's there to be positive about? Man, you sold us out for two terms. Basically, let us die.
Please, Brother Eric, please. That was the past. That was the past. We don't need to talk about the past. I'm about the future. I'm about moving forward. Moving forward, Brother Eric. I'm moving forward.
Oh, my God. Okay, so what is it? What is it that you want, Brother Ken?
Well, I want to just tell you that the first round is here in the mayoral election. It's come and it's gone. I know there is shock in the results, but we must move on and dig in. Dig in. Digging in your strawberry-scented bullshit. Excuse me, I'm talking. You're out of order.
What, you still think you're the president? You could call me out of order? I'm going to interrupt you all I want. It's my show.
Oh, that's not very polite. You kind of sound like a dictator. I thought you were about democracy.
You know what, Brother Ken? You're right. I'm being a little hypocrite there. So go ahead. Finish your statement. And then get out of my house. Go crawl back in that TARDIS and travel back to the future or the past, wherever you come from.
Well, our locals must not silently wait until a few days before the vote to stand with a candidate and worry about who you will offend and repercussions. With God willing.
Oh, my God, there you go with God. Do you people always got to involve God in this stuff when you're talking BS? I mean, you're going to get struck by
Excuse me, Brother Eric, again, you're out of order. You have to follow the chain of command.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I, the former and future president of ATU Local 308, endorsed Brandon Johnson today, and I encourage all ATU Chicago members to do the same.
Yo, man, all right, that's enough, Ken. Okay, you the former, and I proudly fired you when I voted for Dick son, okay? But you say you the future.
Well, I just came in my time machine from the future. I'm telling you, I'm the president of ATU Local 308, and I endorsed Brandon Just.
Wait. I did a poll. An unofficial poll, when we were doing the primaries, you voted in that poll for multiple people, and none of them was Brandon Johnson. You went Jamal Green, and you went, who else? I got to get this poll up.
Brother Eric, we're not going to go into the past. We're going to think about the future.
Man, you would vote for everybody but him. Now you say you endorsed him. Okay. All right. So what do you really have to do? We have to finish this statement because I got a show to run.
Brother Eric, just give me a few more minutes. I want to state mean that Brandon is going to cater to us and make our problems go away. We have to organize and produce that on our own. I'll be damned if we should sit back on our ass and you have no say. You watch as the teachers mobilize around and behind Brother Johnson.
Okay. All right, so you're done?
Yeah, I'm done with my... Okay, get out of here.
I'll keep your TARDIS, your time machine. My God, this guy interrupting me. Well, in Local 308, we had a quorum, thank the Lord. I think we need to have some more demolition derbies every other meeting to encourage members to show up. So feel free to stand in front of President Dixon's car and live stream it as he tries to run you over. That should get people to keep coming, I think. What about you? But a glorious thing happened at Local 308. The membership overrided the union leadership's recommendation to reject the grievances of two of our co-workers, union brother and sister, who are in the terminal supervisor positions. And it was a thin margin, but we did it. And the union leadership was pissed off. They were all pissed. It caused a scene, and a little bit of a scene led to another scene, but we overrode them. You are not supposed to be doing anybody else's job, But these two supervisors stood their ground. They said, no, I'm not going to do a particular job that I was not, I'm not supposed to be doing. You're going to pay me for it. So they got written up. They took a hit for the team. So I want you to reach out to these two, Sister Desiree, Brother Mike Overstreet, and let them know, thank them for standing up for all of us and taking a hit for the team. Whether you agree with them or not, they stood by on principle. And that's what union leadership does or should do, real union leadership. But this time it didn't come from the elected people. It came from the rank and the file. It came from your coworkers who work, not people that were elected or appointed, not people that are seeking favors, but two people that took a hit on their record, and the union leadership refused to back them up. They said, well, because of this rule and this law and this sentence here and this period there and blah, 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 all these things. Yes, it could be legal that the CTA was justified in punishing these people to them in their rules, the way they contort them and twist them. It was, just so you know, in case you forgot, illegal to be dark-skinned, a black man, a black woman, and to sit in the front of the bus. But people did it, and they got arrested. They were punished. They got records, reputations ruined, jobs got fired. The righteous do not obey the unrighteous law. Local 241, one of our co-organizers in the Justice Coalition, Brother Andre, made a motion for a strike authorization vote. Boss Hill said, out of order, out of order. It got seconded. But no, and then he complained about it. The King Costa, the International Amalgamated Transit Union president. And this fool had his lawyer write, according to, I got to read this. These people, what kind of union is this? What kind of union is this? Where your own union leadership fights the membership that wants to fight back. And he gets it wrong. He said he made a motion for a strike. He didn't make a motion for a strike. He made a motion for a strike authorization vote. So this guy, King Costa, really his lawyer, is his ghostwriter. He says, Article 16, grievance procedure. Article 17, arbitration. Article 20, terms of agreement. Go to Chicago, ChicagoTransitWorker.com. Click on the button that says Know Your Rights. Look at Article, this guy. He's so annoying. Article 16, Article 17, and Article 20. And he says, according to these in the collective bargaining agreement, Article 16, 17, 20, the CTA and Local 241-308 require the parties to submit grievances along with disputes over contract changes to arbitration when parties are unable to solve their disagreements themselves. Based on these facts, it appears Brother Hill properly ruled your motion for a strike vote out of order. It was not a grievance. You even get it wrong. And Illinois public sector transit workers may not strike when their contract calls for the union and management to submit disputes to arbitration. Let's read this. I'm sorry, it wasn't Brother Andre did this. One of our other organizers did it. But Brother Andre thought, I'm sure Brother Andre seconded it at least. Sorry, brother, if I messed it up. I'll get to you in a minute. But let's look at this, Section 17, right to strike. Right to strike. Yes, we have a right to strike. That's what it says right here in the law. Don't get all upset. Get your panties up your butt. You have a right to strike. Nothing in this act shall make it unlawful or make it an unfair labor practice for public employees other than security employees as defined in Section 3P, peace officers, firefighters, paramedics employed by fire departments and fire protection districts, not us, to strike, except otherwise provided in this act. Public employees who are permitted to strike may strike only if, there's five points, the employees are represented by exclusive bargaining representatives. Check. The collective bargaining agreement between the public employer and the public employees, if any, has expired, or such collective bargaining agreement does not prohibit the strike. Check. We have no such thing as a no strike. Saying that lie, all you union people that tell us that we have a no strike clause in your contract, you a liar, you're misinformed. Quit repeating this lie, because we don't have it. The crafts have it. The iron workers have it. The electricians have it. The escalator constructors have it. The carpenters have it. The painters have it. The pipe fitters have it. The plumbers have it. But we don't. So quit saying that. Three, the public employer and the labor organization have not mutually agreed to submit the disputed issues to final and binding arbitration. Boom! Check. That's up to us to decide as the membership. Number four. The exclusive representative has requested a mediator pursuant of Section 12 for the purpose of mediation or conciliation of a dispute between the public employer and the exclusive representative, and mediation has been used. So go ahead and use mediation then. At least 5 days have elapsed after the notice of intent to strike has been given by the exclusive bargaining representative to the public employer. In the mediation under this section, if either party requests the use of mediation from the federal mediation and conciliation service, the other party shall either join in such request or bear an additional cost for mediation from another source. And here's where they try to trap us. And they won't get me on this, and they won't get anyone in the coalition on this, because we know an employee who participates in a strike, work stoppage, or slowdown in violation of this act shall be subject to discipline by the employer. No employer may pay or cause such an employee to be paid any wages or compensation for such periods of participation, except for compensation earned before the participation. We're not calling for a strike. We're not calling for a work stoppage. We didn't call for a slowdown. We just said, let's see what the members want to do. And if the members want to do something, Boss Hill, Boss Dixon, Boss Franklin, you have to follow their will. Same with you, King Costa. And that's the problem. When the members vote for stuff, even if it's seconded, you keep shooting it down. And that's the prime reason why there's altercations at the local 308 membership meetings between me and the union bosses. It's because when I have a right to speak, when it's my turn to speak, I'm shut down. Others, same problem. When my motion seconded, you don't let it go to a vote. So what if it loses? It's not about the members being able to have it their way. It's about members being able to have a voice. And the more you union people, leadership, keep doing this to the members, the more people are going to stop paying dues. And eventually they're going to decertify. And then we're going to be at more of a risk. Certify, we'll replace it with another union. Maybe we'll make our own. Let's talk about this mayoral election. We got the phone lines that are just packed, man. You're just jamming up the phone lines. I know you got a lot to say, boys and girls, right here on the Chicago Area Transit Worker Radio Show. I'm going to take some calls here. Let me get my little screen here ready. What we got here? Good evening. Who's on the line here?
I am Kathy.
Oh, Mr. Kathy, what's up? What's on your mind? Who will be our new boss?
Well, I guess from that song, the new boss, kind of a lot the same as the old boss. Whoever gets elected, they are not going to be acting like a king or the Wizard of Oz or something. Their actions are going to be determined by what's happening with the economy, with Chicago, with the United States, even with the world. Like, we took the money going for wars, for the war in the Ukraine and in the Middle East. And money isn't going to be coming so much our way. And I think that a vote for Paul Vallis is a vote for an open racist. A vote for Brandon Johnson is a vote for a slicker liar. So, and I feel like the best thing about this election for the CTA workers, for the ATU members, is to talk about racism, because we don't. And not enough about the racist contracts that we keep on getting, the part-time jobs, the loss of benefits. And so that's the debate that I am looking forward to.
And, you know, we look at our workforce, majority Black and Latino workforce, and we look at the part-time sector of that workforce. So we have part-time bus operators. We have customer service assistants. We have full-time temporary flagmen. And we have second chancers. So we have four tiers doing jobs, full-time, part-time, full-time temporary, and second chance. Their majority part-time are women.
Right.
Latino women. And when you have majority Black in poverty that work in communities, majority Black and Latino in poverty, we are actually perpetuating poverty at the CTA. So the opportunities, the resources, everything that could go into our community through the tax base for people with expendable, disposable income, we don't have it. So it keeps us locked. And then we go to work, and then we have these managers, many of who are Black and Latino, terrorize these people. They literally terrorize them. You're late, 5 minutes late. Why? You were sick.
Yeah, man, but my mom died. Here's the proof.
I'm writing you up to 1 year sick entry. You know, we got managers calling people up when they're off the clock.
I'm watching you.
This is crazy. You're calling people up to say you're watching them. We have one manager that threatened to murder one of our coworkers who complained to the union and to management that they were being threatened. So he went up to him and threatened him more.
Right. And listen, Paul Vallis, he doesn't want to teach the truth about the history of this country, about Black people's history and the fight against racism. And we should all know that when the fight against racism has become a mass movement in this country, that white workers benefit from fighting against racism economically, politically, and just as human beings. So, and workers. So
absolutely,
it's a fight for everybody, and it's global.
Everybody benefits.
So,
you look at Twitter, where we got the mayors up there. So in the Justice Coalition, we've been trolling these mayors, right, because they make all these statements. And we're trolling both of them. You know, you talk about poverty. What about poverty at the Chicago Transit Authority?
Right.
Let's talk about, because what we're going to do, we got to steer them to the fact, crime. You know, okay, police. Okay, you keep saying that's going to fix our problem. But what about the poverty? Because when you have, what are you going to, you just keep locking them up. And then all these part-timers, what about their children? What are their children going to be doing? They live in maybe not even, some homeless? So what opportunities do they have? So where are they going to end up? Are they going to be on our trains and buses, robbing people, getting high?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no end in sight with these politicians.
Right, or with the police. Paul Vales didn't say that. Did Paul Vales say that the police need to be unleashed, or was that a comment I read on Facebook by one of
No, that was Willie Wilson. Willie endorsed them. Yeah, but, you know, they're all – it's kind of like they keep talk, because I believe it's an easy fix. It's a short-term solution. But it's still going to suck because guess what? After they lock them up, they're going to leave because they got to process everything. And you're still going to have more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're going to – you'll lock them up. Just lock people up, lock them up. And then when you lock them up, what is it like in jail? What is it like in prison?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get out, then the only job you can get, guess what, is a second chance, 40-hour
part-time
job at the CTA.
Right.
Some of these people just, like, forget it. I'll just go back to selling drugs. I mean, I hear this stuff, Kathy. I'm a steward. I hear it every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. But thanks for – go ahead. Finish up what you're saying. I want to get to the other call.
No, you go on ahead. Get the other person.
And then hopefully I'm also – okay, thank you, Kathy, very much for calling. Be sure you keep listening, and we'll clear your line there, okay? Thank you.
Okay,
515-605-9885. We got some CTA workers that are Paul Vallis supporters. Seriously, I want you to call in. Please call in. Discuss why you think Paul Vallis is better than Brandon Johnson, or just why you just want to – you don't even have to compare to Brandon Johnson. Just tell us why you want to vote for him. I ain't going to make fun of you. I sincerely want to know, and I think a lot of coworkers and people in the public want to know, because your concerns are real. 515-605-9885. Got here. All right. Who is this on the line, if you want to identify yourself? Anyone there? You Paul Vallis? You voting for Paul Vallis?
Hell no.
Anyone there? You not voting for Paul Vallis?
Nah.
I need a Paul Vallis caller. Hang on. Okay. Let's see what we got here. 515-605-9885. Who is this here? Are you a Paul Vallis supporter? You don't have to identify yourself if you don't want.
No.
Anyone there?
Not a Paul Vallis. No.
Okay. Hang on. I'll get to you. I'm looking for Paul Vallis. You're being naughty. No, seriously. Hang on. All right. Let's see if we got.
Number looks
familiar. We got a Paul Vallis supporter here. Any Paul Vallis supporter? Anyone there? No? Okay. All right. Let me clear that. Okay. Okay, so we need Paul Vallis supporters. 515-605-9885. We got someone here who's not a Paul Vallis supporter. Talk to us.
Oh, yeah, sure. I really don't care for Brandon Johnson either, but I guess the lesser evil. He used to be an organizer, but that's the only positive thing about him. But when I met him today at the mosque, he was all the way in the back, away from everybody, and just sitting by himself. And then when the Friday lecture was over, he was gone with the wind. He ran for his shoes and ran out of there. He didn't even embrace the people. It was kind of weird. It was over 2,000 people waiting.
So that was weird. So after the sermon, the khutbah, He did nothing. I mean, he didn't stand in the lobby.
No, he just ran for his shoes
out front.
Ran to the shoe racks, put on the shoes. He was gone. So he was listening to the khutbah, to a lecture, and when it was over,
did the
imam
introduce him?
No,
did the imam mention he was there?
Yeah.
You know, they're not like the South Side, the Mob Foundation, they introduce, but here they don't allow them to go up there and introduce. They just want to do the sermon and the prayers and that's it. And if
yeah,
they want to talk to people, they let you talk outside. They're
yeah.
like, you know how you say we don't endorse, the coalition doesn't endorse anyone. Now we'll let them,
okay.
you know, we'll ask them questions, but we won't endorse. So there they won't endorse.
So,
they wouldn't even let them talk.
So this,
not at MCC.
So this was the Downtown Islamic Center, right?
No, MCC.
Oh, you went to MCC on Elston. Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, they usually don't, but he should have at least been outside or something talking to people.
That's what I'm saying. I wasn't going up there and say, hey, Sister Nicole was trying to reach out to you guys. You guys are like showing her the cold shoulder. What the hell's wrong with you guys? She wants to go volunteer and, you know, participate, and you guys are not even returning her call.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying. It's like, who are you? And MCC is one of the, you know, big, you know, masajid in the city. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was
Chewy
Garcia. I mean, I'm like, okay, so I didn't vote for Chewy.
Yeah.
I hope you don't vote for this guy either.
So we got some people. I want to try to get some valid support, but we got some other calls. So thank you for calling, brother. If you don't mind hanging up to clear the line, I'd appreciate that. But you can listen to us online, okay?
Oh, you want me to close the phone?
And that would be nice. Yeah, we got to let other people in.
So
room.
If I get off, somebody else can call. Okay, I'll go online.
There you go. So, but you can listen online. We're streaming live.
Okay.
This is Brother Khalid, right?
Yeah.
So I posted the link for you in our organizer chat. You just have
can
to click on
that. Can you send
me
a messenger so I can click on it?
Not right now. I'm running the show, brother.
Oh, I
sent it on WhatsApp to the organizer chat for you, okay?
Okay, I'll find it. Okay.
Thanks a lot, brother. All right, salam alaikum.
Bye-bye. All
right. Okay, so let me see. We got a call here. Okay, let's see. We got you on. I think you were not a valid supporter. Is that correct?
No, absolutely
not. Okay, talk to us. What is it, Vallis? Is it Johnson? What's on your mind?
Well, I don't know. Brandon is getting a lot of big name endorsements. You know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kwame Raoul. But this guy, he doesn't like to ask the questions. He does these debates. He doesn't like to ask questions. He deflects from the question, and he has all these taxes. We've been taxed enough in Chicago and Cook County. Time out for taxes, you know. Why can't they make do with the money that they got already? So I don't know. I'm kind of iffy about this Brandon Johnson guy. But
it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's real, you know. We'll see what happens. I don't know what the union's going to do, if they're going to hold out to the last minute, the last week, the last 2 weeks or whatever to endorse this guy. Ken Franklin said he's waiting for Eric Dixon to set up a meeting or something with the Brandon Johnson campaign. I was under the impression that the members had voted the motion down to endorse him, but according to Ken, they had voted it up. But it's so damn hard to tell what's voted up and voted down because, you know, they don't do a hand vote. So
no, they and I even moved for a hand vote, you know, and they just ignored me, bunch of losers.
Yeah. So. Brandon,
it's frustrating.
I mean,
and then, what do you think about this? What do you think about this, though? I got to ask you. So I've seen two news videos of Brandon Johnson walking to a forum, like he's outside, and then there's these protesters out front that are running up to him. Like,
trying to ask him questions and talk to him, and he just waves them off and runs away. What do you think of that? Do you think he should engage the people?
Yeah, I think I don't think that's a good look for Brandon. I think he should at least, you know, figure out what the issues are, you know, or maybe have a side conversation with him. But Paul Vallis is rising. I think he's got a lot of endorsements coming from black politicians, black aldermen. So I don't know. This is very interesting how this is turning out. You know, you got aldermen from the south side and aldermen from the west side supporting Paul Vallis because they say that he has a plan for crime and they have high crime in their wards. And Brandon Johnson doesn't have a plan on crime. So I don't know. This is very interesting. But, you know, Brandon is getting these big name endorsements nationwide. So we'll see how this goes.
Thanks for the call, brother.
No problem.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. We have, we're going to go. We got another call here. And by the way, everybody, 515-605-9885. Are you for Paul Vallis?
Tell us.
Paul Vallis.
Good.
Talk to us. Why?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was okay. So hey, I'm Perez, the one and only famous guy, I guess, on Facebook. but yeah,
Do you want to identify yourself,
sir? I'm the well hated ATU 241 person of all times for Keith Hill.
Is this the one, the only Miguel Perez?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you naughty
yep,
man.
Yep.
Keith Hill. Oh, hold on. Let me hit my Keith Hill alert button. Okay. Go ahead, Miguel.
Huh?
Talk to us, brother. Why Paul Vallis?
Okay. So, yeah. You know, so what I do is I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of I look at a lot of their video, their debates, and you know, I just don't feel Brandon. I mean, for mayor, I don't think neither are to my. If I was to pick, I wouldn't pick either or. I just don't like – there wasn't enough good options. But I'm going to go and I'm going to pick the person with the most, you know, skill level, background. You want somebody that has some kind of tactic and ready to go at it with, you know, they're coming into a hard job. City of Chicago is nothing easy to deal with in my perspective, you know, and I want somebody that is going to, you know, take on Chicago to be ready to handle it, you know. I've watched, you know, yesterday there was a debate. I watched it too. I'm trying to give Mr. Johnson a chance. I'm trying to see what he brings to the table. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I can't get him through. You know, with him, when they ask him, okay, what would you do with this case and this and that case? What would you do? He's always bringing up the fact that he was a teacher. I'm sorry, if you were a teacher, that has nothing to do with what dealing with the, you know, politics of Chicago, the crime level. Because you work, so what he's trying to say is, being that he's a public school teacher, that we're all criminals. I grew up through public schools, so I guess I was a criminal. I'm sorry, but I want somebody that's going to bring, even though Valis does not have what I'm looking for, but he has some kind of tactic that I would do if I was in that position. He's supporting the police. I know many people don't like the police. I get it. The police is, but guess what? We need the police, unfortunately. And if we don't have the police, then who do we have? God or somebody to come and help out the crime level here in Chicago. So we need the police. So by defunding the police, which is so-called Johnson's request, that's not going to help out nothing in the city of Chicago. You know, we need somebody that's going to be supportive to the police, even though I get it, even though we don't want police to be in our asses, you know, or doing that, you know, checking, oh, hey, what are you doing? Turn around, put your hands on the wall, you know, frisk and you know, pat down and all that just because they want to. I get it. Unfortunately, yes.
I want to, but this is good. I really, really, really am so glad you called. But I want to know, because the mayor's going to be our top boss. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
now what,
how does this
now
affect
what,
you as a CTA worker? Like
okay,
just tell
yeah.
us about your job duties and
okay.
how you think.
There you go.
In your
okay.
contract
okay.
and your union and all that stuff and how that relates
Got
to the
you.
Mayor for you. For you.
Got you. Okay, let me just pinpoint it down to us transit operators and union level, what our mayor can do for us, right? Okay, so many people don't want the police to be on your bus, right? On your train. I mean, on your train. And because I don't know why. In my position, I would love for an officer to ride one street with me. I would love it just to see. I would like to see how customers react having a police officer sitting in the back of the bus just watching. I would like to see what that would do for us, right? But unfortunately, there's not enough police power for that. There's more better crime out in the city of Chicago for an officer to do that. You get what I'm saying? All they can do is respond calls when we need an emergency assistance. So what do I want from the mayors, right? The mayors are going to be in charge of our president, the CTA president, right? They gotta you know, play, look at our, you know, what the structure the CTA has, right? And I would love for the mayors to listen to the frontline operators, the people that are working the buses, people who are working the trains. You know, they need to listen to us and see what we want, because obviously I don't know what they see in our president for the CTA, but I guess he's doing a great job. I mean, I'm not too fond about it, but he's doing a great job. But we need somebody to clean house. And when I say clean house, it's starting from the top down to the bottom, literally. See what the system offers. Look at other cities. See how they're doing their system. Look at bigger cities like New York. And see how and why is their transit safety working better than Chicago. You know,
yeah.
They need to look at examples and bring them here to Chicago, because they're trying to do what they can, but they're wasting the money. I believe that the security they hired for a couple million dollars is a waste of money. These officers, I don't even want to call them officers, because they can't even detain you. They can't arrest you. They don't have any kind of protection equipment. They don't have firearms.
So the security, though, is more
what
so.
What are they doing?
Any kind of security, though. You've been in that field before.
Yes.
you know, from our conversation.
I've been in public safety, yeah.
Really, security, yeah, security is more like eyes. It's not necessarily about stopping things. It's about deterring things. So when people who have a plan
go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Because generally, when people see security that who have a plan to steal or assault someone, generally they go somewhere else. Generally.
So you gotta put two and two together, right? You gotta look at two and two together. You're not gonna put a security officer in an environment where killing is happening, murders, attacks, you know, stuff like that is happening. Like, you wouldn't see let's say in a bank, right? You're looking at a bank, officer there without protection, an officer there without a bulletproof vest. Do you think that's normal? I believe the security level we need on the transit system, being that currently it's a trend where people are being attacked, robbed, things are happening. You want somebody that's going to protect that person immediately. We don't have time for that so-called officer in a yellow vest to say, hey, obviously he's not going to put his life at risk, right? He's not going to say, hey, stop it. I'm going to call the police. Because then what's going to happen? That guy is going to attack that officer.
Yeah.
So what we need is somebody that's going to be able to control the problem at hand.
I want to get to another call. I got another call I want to get to. 515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. I'm looking especially for valid supporters. If you're not a valid supporter, okay, you can still call, but I really would like to have some more valid supporters. So, Miguel, give yourself, how about I give you about, another minute. Wrap it up.
I'm going to end it. I'm going to end it because my wife is waiting for me in the house. I'm in the garage. You know how I'm sneaking over here.
Okay.
But let me end it.
Thank you.
Why I want Bellis? Because this guy is being proactive of what the people want, and he's saying things what we're asking for. Even though we're not there in his face telling him what we want, he's literally saying at each debate what he's going to do, and I'm hoping he's going to follow through with his promises. He's being endorsed by yesterday he was endorsed by the Chicago Fire Department, you know, the police, FOP. He's being endorsed by local franchises here in Chicago, you know, people that are, I don't want to say too much, but that's, I just believe that he has what we want at this point in time.
Hey, Miguel, I really appreciate you taking time out to call the show.
Yeah, thank
you,
man.
Your opinion, brother.
Hey, everybody, have a good night. ATU 2-for-1 for life.
You too, brother. Peace. 515-605-9885 is the number. We got another caller here I want to get. Let's see. So do we have a valid supporter on the line? Are you a valid supporter? Talk to us. Maybe you're not a valid supporter. I know you've been on hold for a while.
I spoke already. I'll let the next person go.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? We have nobody else on the line. So 515-605-9885. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, we could talk about I don't know if you talk about this, but at the last union meeting that we were at together, Eric, the warden said he was going to beat your ass.
Well, we could talk about that.
You got the union officials threatening you, and we pay them six figures.
Yep. Yep.
And I think he told
you
something
about why
to the effect of meet him outside or meet him in the back or something.
Yeah. 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 So from my recollection, you can fill in the gaps or correct me. Our Vice President Mark Weems was expressing great frustration that I have been assisting. He didn't call me out specifically, but he was implying it because we were dealing with grievances I had helped members write. And he was frustrated that I am telling members to grieve things that they can't possibly win from an arbitrator. And he, of course, never asked me why I do that, and so just went on about it. And I do that because it is the members' right, but I do tell them it's most likely you won't win, but if you put this grievance in, that's a paper trail that can show us a symptom of an underlying problem. And that is important to do. And it's a good exercise of your democratic rights. But instead, you know, go off and try to embarrass. And I shouted back, it is the members' right to grieve. And I pointed my finger at him and like, mm-mm, and he's going off. And then there, here comes Tom Moore, the warden. Boom, boom, boom. He loves to try to kick me out all the time. He told me, you can't talk to him like that. Blah, blah, blah. And we're going to take it outside. Let's take it outside right now. You and me right now. I told him, kiss my ass.
Oh, yeah. That was good. That was a good laugh for me when you told him that. That was a good laugh. But, yeah, Mark Weems is, you know, he seems like a company man to me from his persona and arrogance. He seems like he doesn't like for the second chance workers or any of the low-level workers to present grievances, you know. He seems like one of those people that is always with the manager, stuck up the manager's butt.
It's frustrating because Brother Mark is really intelligent, and I actually enjoy talking with him about issues regarding the contract and things like that. But see, he's in that philosophy of business unionism, you know, and they're so trapped in the mindset of what's legal, what's not, what does this say, what does that say, and we have to do it like this and we have to do it like that. But when things are wrong, they're wrong, man. You know, we could talk about it later. This is not the time. Like, no, this is the time to talk about it because it came up. You know, I mean, grievances, brothers, should be something that we organize around, even if they're not winnable, quote unquote, you know, because we can win them in other ways. We could scare the hell out of these managers.
Yeah.
You know, bullying us, you know. You know, punishing us because we get sick. For anyone listening, 515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. While I got you on the phone, can you identify yourself, or would you rather not?
Oh yeah, of course. This is
Brother
Robert
Thomas, right?
Yeah. Bus operator, 103rd Street.
Justice Coalition, co-organizer, great mind of great posters. Can you talk to us a little bit about this Employee Appreciation Week?
Okay, yeah, I'll talk about it. It's not a week, though. It's a day. We get one day dedicated to us. No, it's a day. It's March 8th.
Damn.
It's March 18th every year. So CTA or PA, but a lot of transit organizations across the country have dedicated March 18th of every year That's Transit Employee Appreciation Day. So CTA
wow.
tries to appease us by putting up these posters written from Dorville Carter with his signature saying, we thank you, we appreciate you, without you, the city will come to a halt, blah, blah, blah. Then they give us a bag of popcorn or a box lunch. But, you know, they never really give us what we really want, which is real simple. Clean, safe bathrooms, sick days, you know, clean places to eat our lunch, you know, safe working environments, stuff that the job should be doing. But, you know, it seems like, you know, for whatever reason, they want to cut corners or they just don't care. But, you know, like I got that sign
ridiculous.
That says, our billionaire employer treats us like poop. Because it's true.
That's right. Yep.
And
literally.
We got to make sure. We got to let the public know, because a lot of the public just think that we make a lot of money and it's easy. No, it's not easy dealing with this organization. And a lot of us don't make a lot of money, and they live paycheck to paycheck. You know, you got these CSA. You got these second chances making $15.50 an hour. They got to pay union dues, but they get no benefits.
Yep. Yep.
No
yep.
health.
It's horrible.
No health benefits. No dental. No vision. No nothing. But they got to pay the union dues, and they making $15.50 an hour. What kind of job is that?
Ugh. And the working conditions are horrible. Even in the maintenance side, you know, they're so cheap.
Our employers
so cheap. We don't even have janitors
for
our shops in the maintenance areas on the rail and the bus. It's always second chancers. They put second chancers and some servicers. You know, contractually, the job of facilities maintenance is for facilities maintenance,
janitors. Not vehicle maintenance,
not
people who clean the buses and the trains, you know.
And they're saving so much money making these second chancers do all kind of full-time work. And the union people are, man, I don't know, oh, well. I mean, in 241, what the hell? They put in the contract that servicers can mop the buses. They put it in the contract. They're not supposed to be. That's a full-timer job. You know, on the rail side, they got them doing everything. We got these horrible managers that make the second chancer sign a piece of paper that says they're going to do exterior wash cleaning of the train.
Brother Robert,
man, that exterior wash, them chemicals, they're horrible, man. They're horrible. They burn your eyes. Even with eye protection, they burn your eyes, the little droplets, you know. And they got these poor people doing this and make them sign it, which is totally crazy. Totally. It's not a contract. The manager can't make contracts with individual union members. It's crazy, man. It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, that sounds like a accident. Or a lawsuit waiting to happen with those chemicals. OSHA should be in all CTA locations right now.
Brother,
you know, checking that.
The sad thing about that, brother, is it is happening, but they just pay them off. You know, you get a nice settlement. You know what I'm saying? It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. I tell people, no, definitely, you're injured. You better go get compensated. You know, but, man, they just keep doing it until we make them stop, you know. And it's sad, you know, like you said, you see that kind of thing coming from the union leadership where it's like they sound like they're representing our employer.
Oh, yeah. They sound like a manager for the company all the time. Well, we can't tell the CTA what to do. We can't make the CTA – We can't make the CTA build new bathrooms. You know, we can't do that. We can't do that. We're the union, but we can't do that.
It costs too much. What did Keith Hill say? It's going to cost $80 million for them to build a bathroom. You should be happy to have that port-a-potty.
Yeah. Let him and Dorval Carter use the damn port-a-potty and see how they feel using a port-a-potty on a 10-degree day or a negative 5-degree day. Okay.
Yeah.
They're so out of touch with reality.
Put some hand sanitizer. But Robert, we're going to give you a little bottle of hand sanitizer.
Dorval Carter and Keith Hill are so out of touch with the bus operators and the frontline workers. It's unbelievable.
Well, I tell you, I was so surprised tonight to get that visit from our future president in his time machine. I can't wait to see what he's going to be doing. I don't know if you heard that segment, but our future president showed up in my studio here.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he smelling like strawberry-scented bull crap?
It smells so good, Robert. I had to just try to taste it.
Oh, yeah. Did he bring his homeboy, Derek Price, with him? You know, because they're drinking buddies. They love to drink.
Well,
I don't know what's up with politicians that love to drink.
I saw somebody passed over on a bar stool inside his time machine, so I think that was him.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll probably post about it on Facebook tonight in all caps. That's his thing. I don't know.
Derek Price. I'm voting for Ken Franklin for president.
Yeah, he's a
jerk. Oh, that guy's a trip. Yeah, man. Let's see if we got any calls, any other calls. No, it's just you and me. So we got a little bit of time. Can you talk a little bit to us about this? These letters that King Costa sent. He sent you a letter or two.
Oh,
he sent
yeah.
you some
he
responses.
Sent me a letter.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I had wrote to him to let him know the conduct of the mass membership meeting. Several things went wrong with that meeting. The first thing that went wrong is we got our newly elected secretary treasurer making falsifications in the meeting minutes. He claimed that one of the union officers made a motion, and that union officer wasn't even at the meeting for the whole day. And he said, it's a mistake. I'll fix it. That's a huge problem. You know, you got stuff in the meeting minutes that didn't happen for people that wasn't even present. So I let him know about that, and then I let him know that the president.
Oh, hang on. So I'm looking at the letter, and King Costa, his ghostwriter, says, this office understands that there may be instances when information is mistakenly recorded in the local union's meeting minutes. Members having the opportunity to correct the minutes is one of the reasons why our Constitution and General Laws, CGL, requires that minutes of a previous meeting be presented at a local union's monthly mass membership meeting. It is the understanding of this office that the mistake in the minutes is being corrected. Accordingly, there is no basis for any action by my office. What did you think of that response?
It sounds like the union officials call King Costa up like, yeah, I know. They wrote about me again. What do you want to do? What do you want to do, best friend? You gonna let me pass on this one, best friend? Or you want to have dinner? You want to have coffee? You want to have tea? You know, it's like King Costa is best friends with these union officers. You know, thing that he responds to, everything, 99% of the stuff that he responds in these letters say, oh, take it back to the local, or or we have this, we have this provision, we have this excuse, we have this in the Constitution that allows for this wrongdoing, that allows for that wrongdoing, or take it back to the local. You know, this union, I don't know, this union is in bad shape, and
so hopefully we get
some type of reform real soon.
Well, it's happening. It's happening, brother, because the Justice Coalition is functioning pretty much in a way that the 241 and 308 presidents refuse to function. So we are doing what is supposed to be done, and it's working. Because, I mean, look at these responses. Talk to us about advising you about Article 16, Article 17, Article 20, and the strike, the out of order strike motion.
Right.
What's up with that?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this fool. He's making it seem like we tried to make a motion to strike. No, we didn't. We just brought a authorization strike vote to the floor to see if how the members are feeling at the moment, to see if they want to vote, you know, to strike or not, you know, or bring it to the leadership to make that decision. You know, it's just the very first step of many steps that we got to take before a strike can actually happen. And, you know, he's on the same train as Keyfield, defending CTA, and it's like,
yes.
Man, when will the ACU ever defend the members instead of defending the union and defend the CTA? When?
It's like, when? It's a big question with a giant question mark. And, you know, I'll never forget. I don't know if you recall, but, you know, the magazine we get in the Amalgamated Transit Union, it's called In Transit. And I'll never forget the at the peak of the pandemic, King Costa wrote, there will be no – striking will hurt the economy. We cannot use that as an option. You know, it's like, you're crazy, man. There's ATU locals that are striking anyways. And you're so scared. It's like he never wants to do it. It's like he's scared of it. Think he's using those poor people in Local 689 some kind of sacrificial lamb. Because he doesn't like striking.
No. No, he doesn't. You know, he makes the same. It's ATU locals all over the country striking every year. Chicago is no different.
Let's let me put that number out one more time. If anyone wants to chime in on this discussion, let's hear your thoughts. 515-605-9885. Robert, let's go to this other part of his letter. Unless is that okay, or did you want to say anything else about his bonds?
We can go. We can move to the next part.
So here we got this Keith Hill sending people who are members who came in the front door. He's sending them out the back door, right? And it's only certain people, really. It's not everybody.
Right. It's not everybody.
What's up with that? What's going on with that? Tell us. What's this guy's problem?
I don't know what's wrong with this shirt. You know, he somehow doesn't.
Oh, didn't he take some pictures of you recently? Didn't he take some pictures of you and you gave him the bird, right?
Oh, yeah. I was reading the report. I was reading the officer's report, and Sister Nicole notified me that he was taking a picture of me while I was reading the report. And by the time I looked up, he has stopped taking the picture, and I put up my middle finger at him because it's like, you know, I'm so tired of this jerk. You know, he wants to dictate. He wants to get mad because people speak out against him, criticize him. He can't he can dish out dirt and dish out criticism and get members fired all day long, all year long, all month long. But when somebody wears a shirt with his mugshot picture on it, he has a problem. He's such a sissy.
So you had a shirt. Tell us about your shirt.
I had a shirt that had the meme on it that I didn't create. I don't know who created the meme, but the meme said lavish lifestyle, and that was a quote that he came up with when he was discussing the last contract that we passed at the beginning of the year, saying that I fight hard every day so y'all could continue to live the lavish lifestyles. And that's just some of the stupidest shit I ever heard, because most of our coworkers are not living no lavish lifestyle. They live in paycheck to paycheck, or they two paychecks away. So
that's right.
I mean, you know, we don't have the luxury of making six-figure salaries like him and the union clowns that you got down there, 1613 South Michigan, and the top CTA management that they got at 567. So for him to say that I fight hard every day so y'all could continue to live your lavish lifestyle, that's like a slap in the face, you know, and I wish I could slap him back for saying that.
We need you to we got to make sure that shirt, we got to promote that shirt so that people can get it and people can at least see it. That meme, yeah, I know who made it.
Right. I didn't create the meme, so don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Be mad at the person
that
created the meme. All I did was put the meme on a shirt. That's all I did.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Now, one other thing I want to note, that the letter that John Costa sent you, the response that he gave you regarding the leaving the meeting, he sent the same thing, brother Andre. You know, so he's just copying and pasting this stuff, you know, his lawyer. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, he's real. John Costa is real good for copy and pasting. And Keith Hill is, too. They both have
copy
that
and
in common.
Costa.
They both love the copy and paste responses and letters. You know,
so
they
he's
get paid
sending you
six
out
figures,
the back
but
door.
They don't want to write.
So he's sending you out the back door. You came in the front door, but he's sending you out the back door because of what? What's his reasoning? What's going on?
There was no explanation or reason on the door or why we needed to leave out the back door for this last meeting. The first time I recall they posted a sign that said due to COVID protocols, we need you to exit out the back door. But this last meeting that they had this month, there was no reason. It just said, please exit out the back door. And, you know, me and a couple other members, we didn't appreciate that. So, you know, we knocked on the door so we can exit out the front. And Keith Hill opened it. He looked all crazy and said, no, y'all got to go out the back. But they got the officers parking right outside the door. So you can't even open the door all the way because they got their cars parked back there behind the building. It's ridiculous. They can park free in the back of the building, but we got to pay the meter on the front. And they're sending
and they,
us out the back.
They were letting other people leave the front, though, from what I recall.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. They was letting certain officers
leave out
the front.
It was just coalition people.
Well, I don't know
yeah.
if it was just coalition people because I left before a majority of the other members left. But I definitely know
okay.
that when we knocked on the door to be let out the front, because they had it locked. They had the door locked to go out the front. So we couldn't get out the front of, so I tried to get somebody, I tried to acknowledge or get somebody's attention by knocking on the door, and Keith Hill and somebody else opened the door and said, no, y'all got to leave out the back with no explanation.
So they locked you. That's a fire hazard, though. If there was a fire hazard, you guys would have been unable to leave.
Unable, yep. They locked the door that would have led you through the hallway to get out the front. They locked that door. And through some intel that I got, supposedly there was a birthday party going on for the vice president, Woodrow Elam. It was his birthday, and they was giving a birthday party, you know. So they didn't want to... They didn't want to interrupt the birthday party or whatever they had going on, festivities for the first vice president. So that's why they sent the members out the back.
Oh, isn't it nice? We wouldn't want the filthy membership being inside his birthday party with their COVID-19.
but it's the back. That's just crazy. It's unsafe. It's an alley.
Let's see what King Costa, John Copy and Paste Costa, says about this. Because you sent him a letter. You and Andre complained to the king of the ATU. This is what he says, or his lawyer. Additionally, your correspondence raised concerns regarding the matter in which members enter and leave the union meeting. Local unions generally are free to establish rules pertaining to the conduct of local union meetings, so long as such rules are uniformly applied and conform to the CGL and the local union's bylaws. Under such circumstances, a local union is permitted to adopt rules which it believes will minimize disruptions at local union meetings. Concerns over the rules adopted to govern the orderly of local union meetings should be raised directly to the union, local officers, and membership. For the above stated reasons, there is no basis for my office becoming involved in these matters at this time. In solidarity, John A. Costa, International President. How did that make you feel, reading that?
Once again, siding with the officers. Siding with his best friend, Keith Hill. It's like everything this guy does, he defends him. He goes to bat for him. So, you know, it's like wow. We pay over $100,000 in per capita every month. And this is the way we get treated by the union and by the international? Wow. So we wonder if we stop paying those per capitas, would they do something? Would they take action then? So maybe that's something that we need to do.
You know,
they don't want to do anything to help the members. They don't want to do anything to help the members. Cut their money off. Money talks.
I tell you, they are a lot of people. You know it. In 241, I know it. In 308, just people, just that's it. They're done. They're not paying dues anymore. You know. And then we got Deborah Lane, our Secretary Treasurer. I mean, we got whole classes of people who took classes, never ever had any union orientation or were asked to enroll in the union. You know, and I got charges on her, and Eric Dixon won't read them. You know, it's really frustrating. It's like, I think it's good, though, that we complain. I don't think, you know, I want to encourage you, brother, to keep doing what you do, you know. Just keep it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's working. Just keep it up.
Yeah. This union doesn't believe in transparency. You know, everything is top secret. You know, you got to make an appointment to see the books. Then when you make an appointment, you don't hit that. You don't hear back from the treasurer. The treasurer is, you know, working for the mayor's campaign while she's earning a six-figure. It's just like, screw the members. Screw the members.
Yep.
We're going to do what we want to do and how we want to do it.
Yep.
We don't care about conflict of interest. We don't care about not being transparent. We don't care about none of that. We're just going to do what we want to do, how we want to do it.
Yes. Yes. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. It's just really, really bad. But let it be lessons for us, you know. And we try to be a good example. But the other sad thing, Brother Robert, is they just don't like debate. They don't want unity. They want conformity. They just discourage debate. And it's like, debate is good. It's good when people disagree. You know, you want all the different ideas to get out there, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap this show up. I think it's been a great show. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think it's been perfect. You know, the union like members not standing up for their work rights, not standing up for their union rights, just going to work and collecting the paycheck and shutting up. Not how a real job and a real union work.
That's right.
So what we're doing at the
yep.
Justice Coalition is great. The union hates it because they love to be able to do what they want to do with the union treasury money and not have to get the members' say, not have to get the
yep.
members' permission. You know?
Yep.
Love to sit down with the managers and have lunch with them and make side deals with them and make backdoor deals with them. Screw the members. We're just looking out
That's
for
right.
ourselves. You know, the
yeah.
greed is the
they
greed
love
is
money.
Just
they
unbelievable.
Love yeah,
they love money.
They hate the members.
They love money, but they don't like to make sure that the members make the money though. Just them.
Brother, thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a part of the show. And we'll do this again.
All right. Talk to you later.
You take
Bye.
Care, brother. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That's it. The show is over. Paul Vallis, Brandon Johnson, who will be the next boss. I'll leave you with a parting thought. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that you take initiative and fight to organize your community, organize your workplace, and bring the battle to those who torment you. The politicians and the elected union leadership, they want you to depend on them to solve your problems. They don't want you to shut their stuff down and embarrass them. They don't want you to take control of your destiny. The union belongs to you. Take control of your union and hold your leadership accountable. Take power from the powerful and smash these wicked, greedy bloodsuckers with your collective power. Don't be afraid to fail. You're going to get hit in a fight. You're going to get stabbed and cut in a knife fight. You might even get shot at. But you know what? When it comes to ideas, you will win and you will overcome. If you persist and you water the seeds of revolution with your persistence and your tears, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and your coworkers. No matter who is elected, if you are in control of your union, and you organize your communities, you will make things better for everybody.